And we're back once again, another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar, finally, after a bit of a delay there, personal issues and family issues being what they are. My apologies for us having a delay. We're trying to get back to a sense of normalcy, and hopefully we'll get on track with this episode, which is going to be another preview episode of what's coming out in theaters for May and June. So this is, again, the first full week of May coming up. I think that's what we can call it.
It's amazing. Springtime. It's great to see your pretty face again.
Yes, yes, I
agree. I'm excited to be here.
A beautiful man, yes.
Talking movies. We owe you Avengers Infinity War reviews. We will deliver on that promise for sure at some point.
Yeah.
Will be the definitive word on the biggest movie event,
yes,
of our spring for sure. And then we're going to do something fun. We're going to rank all 19 of the MCU movies to put a bow on our whole series there.
Which is something that really, I don't like talking about other people's programmings, but these critics are just putting out their top lists of Marvel movies willy-nilly for free on Twitter.
It's too early.
Come on, it's too quick. Marinate it, get a little reasoning behind it.
You know what? We're setting it up. Yeah. We're giving you a little tease. We're going to have you darn Randy by the time you're in a fever pitch.
More the feeling Randy, less so Randy Quaid or Jackson, I think.
I do not understand seduction and how it works.
Everything about it we learned from, what was the Michael Douglas movie there with Glenn Close?
Fatal Attraction. That's the wrong movie to learn anything from. But
anybody
yes.
seen My Rabbit? So, yeah, we're doing a May-June preview, theater preview. These are the movies that, you know, some of them getting Oscar buzz. For the most part, they're just regular movies that you're going to see. We might see a couple of them pass comment on them. Or maybe I know there's one in particular that we're probably going to set up a future episode deep dive into. So we'll get into that as it goes. But as we are now in the early part of May and we hit there and have passed the first weekend that is in May, Mike's going to run us through some of the titles that just came out the weekend of May 4th, the one that I just passed on to as we are embarking on a new week here. So let's dive right in. The May releases, starting with the May 4th releases.
So wide release, Bad Samaritan was a David Tennant horror thriller.
Which is a good concept. I'm surprised it's kind of 45 minutes meta score, not right. highly reviewed.
But. David Tennant, the bad guy in... What was there? Jessica Jones?
Is that true?
Netflix show? The first season?
Was he?
Jessica Jones is her name, right?
Yeah, I didn't know he was in that.
Very, very good as the big baddie in that one. And
it's too much Marvel.
Too much Marvel. So Overboard came out, the remake of the Kurt Russell Goldie Hawn.
Because
rom-com.
Everybody was asking for it.
That was second at the box office this weekend. Decent numbers. I don't know if it's going to make that much. Anna Faris is in the Goldie Hawn role. Eugenio Derbez is in the Kurt Russell. But they kind of, I guess they flipped of who has amnesia from the original to this one.
Yes, because that's what sells. Eva Longoria has a piece of that too, as I've seen her on the promotional trail of that. Not something that I think we'll be talking about ever again.
The big movie released this past week in terms of, what I guess, Oscar buzz or at least critical acclaim was Tully.
This is something we may talk about again.
IMDb summary. The film is about Marlo, a mother of three, including a newborn, who is gifted a night nanny by her brother. Hesitant to the extravagance at first, Marlo comes to form a unique bond with the thoughtful, surprising, and sometimes challenging young nanny named Tully. Charlize Theron goes from atomic blonde to exhausted mom.
You know what? She's always been a great actress, but now getting into the method, you're shredding yourself and learning all these flips atomic blonde and putting on 50 pounds for this role to be an everyday mother. Good for her. I mean, she's amazing going through these body transformations for dedicating herself
she's
to these
like
roles.
She's like the female Christian Bale,
yeah,
practically.
Yeah, for real. She's
for sure.
I would not have guessed that when she first burst on the scene that she was... You know, this type of actress, but God bless her and everything she's doing.
The film also stars Mackenzie Davis from Blade Runner 2049 and a favorite show of mine, Halt and Catch Fire. Mm-hmm. Mark Duplass from everything Mumblecore and the Creep movies is also in
love
it.
Love the Creep movies. Absolutely love them.
Do you? I haven't gotten to them yet. They're on Netflix, so I may have to.
They are, in fact, creepy. Yes, as a matter of fact.
Are they really?
Yeah.
The like Netflix little mini trailer to just score when I'm like going through my menu is really creepy. So I don't know. If he's got like the Muppets mask.
Yeah. And he's dancing around. It plays a big, you should watch it.
I guess so. And Ron Livingston from Office Space plays the husband. Jason Reitman directs, and Diablo Cody writes. That is a team that we know and love from Juno.
Yeah, they already have a couple Oscar nominations to their name from that one.
Yeah, they also work together on Young Adult with Charlize Theron.
Pick, yeah.
Yeah. Reitman has also directed Up in the Air and Thank You for Smoking. Cody has also written Ricky and the Flash and the upcoming Barbie movie. Jason Reitman also has the frontrunner starring Hugh Jackman, a political campaign drama about the 1988 presidential run by Gary Hart, which was derailed by a sex scandal coming out later this year, getting a lot of Oscar buzz.
Remember the days where sex scandals actually derailed presidential politicians? Tully is 7.2 on IMDb right now. It's raked in on its first weekend. I think 3.1 million was the number Box Office Mojo had. So it's this is what Reitman and Cody do, right? They're the niche grouping. They write and have this hipster kind of flair on all these different aspects and bring these characters to life, and this is going to be no different. Is it going to shock you to hear that this will be up for Oscar contention later on down the road? I mean,
Diablo Cody's been there before. Right. Reitman, Theron, of course, so Oscar winner. Perhaps.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Sure. Theron doing Monster. There's another one. Wearing the prosthetics and going ugly for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Good Lord. She's awesome.
Limited releases this past week, The Cleanse, starring Johnny Galecki from The Big Bang Theory, Oliver Platt, and Angelica Houston. It got an early 80%, 6.5 out of 10 Rotten Tomatoes.
BuzzFeed, for some reason, has been hyping up that movie. I don't know if they are in bed with the director or have something to do with it, but they, for whatever reason, they've been tied in with The Cleanse and promoting it all over their social media pages.
Yeah, it's about this social retreat or some kind.
Where you like cleanse yourself of not just the evil within you, which is everything, like your thoughts and everything.
I just think of like pooping.
Yes. Well, it's that's just, I imagine 90 minutes like of a diarrhea film.
Diarrhea movie.
A diarrhea snuff film probably doesn't have high marks. Also, BuzzFeed probably not going to be first in line for that.
I have a juvenile mind. The Desert Bride is an Italian art house drama with an early 100%, 7.1 out of 10 critic score.
I'm just so fearful we're in this place where, oh, look, it's a horror movie. 8,000 points.
The Guardians is a French art house historical drama with an early 100%, 8.7. 7 out of 10 critic score. And RBG is a documentary release about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. A lot of press for this. Early 100%, 7 out of 10 critic score for that one.
Yeah, so, it was big in one of the recent festivals. Got a whole lot of love going around social media, so that's going to be interesting to see. Big year for documentaries. We've talked about it. We think there's a couple that are out there, this being one of them, that is going to hear its name again down in the line, and if it does, we'll be on top of it, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, she's got a biopic, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, later in the year that's going to be up for Oscars with Felicity Jones in it, and she's getting Oscar buzz already. I think our favorite short shorts dancer from Call Me By Your Name.
Mr. Hammer.
Mr. Hot Pants, as far as me and Mike are concerned. Yeah, no, he's
Mr.
Ginsburg.
Why doesn't he just change his first name to The...
The Ham. That's funny. So, Mike, you want to give us May 11th?
Yeah, let's start it off. These are the movies coming out. This, if you're listening to this, the week of May 7th was the Monday, so it'll also be coming out this weekend, May 11th. The wide releases. Breaking In, it's the Gabrielle Union. It's a mystery suspense type movie. Payback is a Mother. It's like Taken within your own house, I think, is what I've gathered from the previews.
So, sure.
Yeah.
We'll see what it does. I don't know.
Life of the Party, which is another one that's been I think I just follow too many movie accounts. Maybe that's what it is on the social media, because this one has been everywhere, too.
Really?
Yeah. Back to School type parody, the Rodney Dangerfield old one he aced in the 80s, except it's Melissa McCarthy in the role going back to college, playing one of the younger girls' mothers. So in a zany mishap, they take classes and stuff together.
Yeah, Back to School is one of those movies, like, you watched it as a kid, and it got some laughs, and you probably laughed too hard at stuff that was not as funny. And if you rewatch it now, like I've rewatched a half hour of it or so now, I'm like, what was I laughing?
Oh, you didn't like it?
Lost its
appeal, huh?
The short and fat story was kind of funny.
Sam Kinison.
I like me a good fat joke because I am also short and fat.
Sam Kinison. I laugh at that because I'm tall and fat, so you weakling. Sam Kinison is the history professor in that. He's just yelling at Rodney Dangerfield to talk about MacArthur being a pussy when I think it was the Vietnam War or the Korean War. That's the line that'll always stick with me. I'm a shallow person like that.
Ben Falcone, Melissa McCarthy's husband, directed the thing and wrote it. So makes sense.
Funny in his own right, too. Those two are great together. It's going to be a sad day when they break up because love is dead. Chris Pratt and Anna Faris fueled that for me.
That's true.
Limited releases on the 11th. Beast is a drama about a woman who runs away with a man who's arrested for a series of murders.
Whoops, I dated a serial killer. Hate when that happens.
Early 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.3 out of 10 average critic score, so that's getting on some buzz.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
It's got a cool poster.
You're going to get one of these films.
Yeah.
You're going to have one of these small independents that gain the traction and become the Oscar love, the beloved, and get pushed for something, so.
I love the poster because it's focused on her. He's like right in the, taking up most of the poster, right?
Right.
But he's out of focus. She's in focus. She has a very expressive face, this actress. I'm very curious to actually watch this.
I'm just frankly sick of Hollywood lying. I mean, if you're going to name something Beast, there better be some animal sex in there or I'm not showing up.
Oh, well. We're learning something else about you.
The Day After is a South Korean art house movie, early 79% and a 7.3 average rating on Rotten Tomato. Dramedy romance. I don't know that we're going to be diving deep into that one anytime soon.
We'll do a whole series on The Day After. No, what are you talking about?
Mountain is a climbing documentary. Mountain is a climbing documentary narrated by Willem Dafoe, because if you ever want to have somebody narrate your movies and scare the shit out of you, you should probably have Willem Dafoe do it. It's an early 92%, 7.4 out of 10 on Rotten Tomato for the average score right now for the critics.
Sure.
Revenge is an action-adventure, mystery, and suspense film with an early 100%, 7.9 out of 10.
A lot of buzz for that one. I'm curious to see it.
Tagline on IMDb. IMDb has it as a 2017 release, but it's going to be, I guess, in the U.S. in 2018. Never take your mistress on an annual guy's getaway, especially one devoted to hunting. A violent lesson for three wealthy married men.
That goes without saying. What is this guy doing?
Hey, maybe don't have mistresses. I mean, there's an idea. 84% meta rating. Too as well for that one right now. So yeah, it's a big one. I may see what kind of momentum it gets once it hits theaters here stateside. The Seagull is a limited release that I'm terrified about after seeing the preview for. My girl Saoirse Ronan, also Annette Bening, Elizabeth Moss, Corey Stoll, and of course Brian Dennehy.
Of course.
Making his comeback, because when you have a period piece about the inner workings of a complicated love triangle in what is it? Latter-day Scotland, Britain, whatever it is.
Brian Dennehy.
The first guy you need casted. And can you play Bobby Knight from A Season on the Brink? Can you just bring that whole character
into this? I'm just glad he's getting work, man. He's back. He's back at it. He couldn't stay away.
Yeah, that preview looked some type of way when I saw it. I was shocked to see that was Saoirse's next move after Lady Bird.
Couple indies coming out for Saoirse, yeah.
Finally, we have Solar's Point. It's about a guy released from prison under house arrest and living with his father, played by Jim Belushi. And it's not a horror movie, so we're going against the grain for
how
once.
How is that possible?
Early 80%, 8.10. A lot of big scores for that this weekend coming up for what we have in theaters, even if it's limited run. But, you know, like I said, something's going to pop up. Something's going to get the love at some point over the summer or the spring.
Build a little momentum.
Could be one of those movies. Following week, Mike's got us on May 18th.
Wide releases include Book Club, starring Diane Keaton, Candace Bergen, Jane Fonda, Mary Steenburgen, Craig T. Nelson, and of course, Alicia Silverstone. It's about a book club where the readers decide to read 50 Shades of Grey, and a bunch of kooky antics transpire from there. This is also somehow not a horror movie.
Yeah, we'll speak for yourself there. Because if you've ever wanted to eavesdrop on your mother talking about masturbation with her friends...
I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to build on what you just said. But I read half of 50 Shades of Grey, and I was just like, come on.
And you don't know about seduction?
I only read half of it.
Oh, okay.
Once they, you know, input all the rom-com dialogue with all the sex.
Right.
I was like, come on. Yeah. No, I don't want, you know, John Cusack narrating, you know, he spoke like John Cusack and she is just like Bridget Jones.
You didn't see Dakota Johnson in your fantasy in the reading of this?
No.
Well, you're a better man than me. I would not have enough self-security to pick up that book in the first place. So,
well, everybody's talking about it.
What else? Talk about snow dogs.
Where are we? Oh, but yeah, good transition to show dogs, not snow dogs. It's a PG dogs talk kind of kids movie starring the voices of Will Arnett, Ludacris, Natasha Lyonne, Alan Cumming, Stanley Tucci, and Gabriel Iglesias.
What a time we are in for just movies. Brian Dennehy, you doing anything? I got a period piece for you about a love triangle in England. So, hey, Ludacris.
Yeah. So Isle of Dogs came out. We're probably going to come out with our
at some point
review
yes,
of it another, when it comes out on video. I think we'll probably bump it to that point.
Again, I'll take the blame for
no,
that.
No, no, no. We missed our window. But there's Dogs in April. Then there's Show Dogs. And then there's another Talking Dogs movie coming out very soon after that. And I think we'll have
Benji on Netflix we had
Benji,
earlier.
Yeah. A lot of dog movies.
I'll take dog movies all day over horse movies.
Yeah, but let's just say there's a lot of both of those animal genres going
on. Oh, if you're saying I'm being subjectively evil towards horses, yes.
There's a rancher.
I am picking my spots.
There's ranchers out there. Hey, tell them! Tell that Mike number one! Bastard! I love my horse. Okay. Of course.
Why was that the most convincing you've been?
I'm just at home in that voice, I think.
He brought a saddle to sit on in his chair today.
Of course, we have the mega release of Deadpool 2 on May 18th. One great trailer better than the next. All your favorites return. The Merc with the Mouth is once again played by Ryan Reynolds. Marina Baccarin from Homeland and Firefly is back. TJ Miller is back as Weasel.
Yeah, I was going to say all your favorites and TJ Miller's back too.
Leslie Uggams returns as Blind Al. Brianna Hildebrand is once again Negasonic Teenage Warhead, which might be the coolest name ever for
That's
a superhero.
That's a great band name too.
Karan Soni is back as the taxi driver Dopinger.
He was hilarious in the first one.
And the cast adds Terry Crews as Bedlam, Rob Delaney from Catastrophe as just regular old
Who
Peter.
Is stealing the previews? What's your superpower? I have diabetes A and B.
I laughed so
type
hard.
One and two.
I laughed so hard when I seen it the first time where he's just gliding and he's not just him with that stupid face.
Oh my God.
I love him. Yes. Catastrophe is a great show Amazon, by the way. Louis Tan as Shatterstar. It's Pennywise the Clown himself, Bill Skarsgård, in an untitled role.
Spoiler alert, it's just going to be him as Pennywise again.
Either the greatest name ever or the greatest stage name ever, Zazie Beetz is Domino, and she looks terrific.
When my parents were naming me, it was between Michael
and Zazie.
Zazie Beetz.
Zazie Beetz. And of course, Josh Brolin is Cable.
I hate that. I mean, he's going to be great. He was great as Thanos. We'll talk about Infinity War like we keep
double
teasing.
Dipping. He's double dipping.
Yeah, but don't. There's so many other actors. I want my Thanos to be Thanos and my Cable to be Cable. And I know that's childish and selfish, but that's how I view it.
Well, he looks like, what's his name? Joss Whedon as Thanos.
Yeah.
Very much.
Yes.
Yeah, they slash Mike number one.
Put Josh Whedon in there.
So, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick are back to write this next chapter. They did a great job with Deadpool 1, of course. And Deadpool 2 is directed by Atomic Blonde and John Wick director David Leitch.
I'm stoked. I'm very excited. I have anticipation. I'm surprised we haven't had the big R turn from all the comic book franchises yet, because that was what this was supposed to set the pace for. We had Logan,
right,
which came afterwards, got its Academy, got even broke through the Academy Award nomination for adapted screenplay, and everybody thought, well, is there money to be made with an R-rated comic book adaptation, blah, blah, blah. Deadpool proved there was.
Proven.
And nothing has really followed in its footsteps yet.
Other than Logan, yeah. I mean, and that's Fox. Yeah, so yeah. Definitely Disney Marvel hasn't done the rated R movie. I doubt we would see anything from the MCU.
Right, basically. I totally
say,
right.
All right, let's make $600 million instead of
why
1 billion.
Exactly. Why risk it at
why
this
risk
point?
It and not go as
but I'm wide. Very surprised, but look, I couldn't be more excited for Deadpool. Will you feel the same here? Or?
I'm thrilled. Yeah. The trailers look really funny, which is a great sign.
Ryan Reynolds was made for this role.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little worried that it'll force it, you know?
Which is a very distinct possibility.
But
because they were so over the top, dry and sarcastic in the first one.
Yeah.
Where do you go from there? Right. I could totally see that worry.
But I think it's going to be okay.
I hope so.
At the very least, it'll be a fun 2 hours.
And it's got a strong team writing it behind. I mean, Atomic Blonde, John Wick, both great. So we're right. Hopefully. Fingers crossed for that one.
Couple limited releases of note. First Reformed is a serious drama written and directed by Paul Schrader, writer of Taxi Driver and Raging Bull, writer-director of Affliction with Nick Nolte, and he's done a lot of good movies.
Was that your Nick Nolte impersonation, or is that just what you think he sounds like after the mugshot?
I think that's what he sounds like now.
Fair
I'm pretty sure that's him now.
I got to say, you're spot on.
First Reformed stars Ethan Hawke in an Oscar-y looking performance, I would say. However, it's not a primetime Oscar release date, going limited and platform.
Short May, which is why I keep bringing up all these scores. You could talk about this one, too. It's another high-scoring one.
Yeah. Cedric the Entertainer plays a preacher in this, kind of one of his colleagues, and he looks like he's doing a nice job in the trailer, at least. And Amanda Seyfried is in it as well. Early 96 percenter, 8.4 out of 10 critic score, just buzz from people on the film festival circuit seem to say that, you know, it's a pretty good movie.
I mean, where are we going with these scores, really? Is everything really this good, or are we just in love with all these new ideas that are finally being made? I don't know. So we'll see as that comes out.
It's a lot of early buzz and film festival. Film festivals are typically more, it's a very receptive audience. So the critics who see these early, it's a very applaud, the auteurs applaud all the film festivals.
They'll
people
only
good
kill,
feeling
yeah,
about movies.
They'll kill the movies that are just hogwash, like a Scarlet Fever, whatever it was last year. It was supposed to be an Oscar contender, but when the festival came out, it got killed.
Tulip Fever.
Thank you. Could not come up with me.
And On Chesil Beach, is another indie drama starring Saoirse Ronan, her second of in as many weeks, written by Atonement novelist Ian McEwan, who's a very good writer, by the way. It also stars Emily Watson, and it's got an early 63%, 5.8 out of 10 critic score on RT there.
This feels better than the one that's coming out the week prior.
What, you don't like Brian Dennehy in Great Britain?
I love it, personally.
What if he's just breaking balls for 2 hours?
Just
like, there's this costume drama. I'm going back to the seagull
again.
It's
Dennehy showing up in a sweatsuit with a cigar.
And he's feeding the seagulls and just talking
like
shit.
Like a bunch of jackasses.
My stepdaughter, Olivia Newton, is full of shit. She needs to get her
Oscar.
Life together.
Thank
Here,
you,
seagull,
Mr. Dennehy.
Another piece of bread. Mike, you got May 25th.
Yeah, well, I mean, this one starts and ends with Solo, A Star Wars Story. Have you seen this one? Have you heard about this one? It's a small budget film making its rounds. with some increasingly good-looking trailers, the expectations for the next Star Wars prequel are growing, no doubt, starring Alden Ehrenreich.
I don't know, but he's
manning the Han Solo role. Westworld's Thandie Newton, Game of Thrones' Emilia Clarke is in this one. Avengers Paul Bettany, of course Donald Glover, who just had a great turn hosting SNL this past Saturday, from Atlanta as well. Woody Harrelson, of course, in this one.
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, I don't know if you've and maybe you've heard of the guy behind the camera. Ron Howard swooped in to kind of direct this one. Jonathan and Lawrence Kasdan in charge of the script. So that's kind of a red flag a little bit was with the Howard handling of how he got hold of this movie.
So Kathleen Kennedy is not as giving with her properties as maybe Kevin Feige, or I guess maybe we'll find out. But she did not allow the guys from 22 Jump Street to just go full comedy, go full ham, as you like to say.
Which could be, you could see it both ways. You could absolutely see the comedy jumping the shark and the Star Wars fans being all up in arms about it being too shtick.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can see it as being too serious. And if anybody deserves comedy within their script, it's Han Solo in the origin story.
Right. I do think, you know, she just knows the formula that works. She knows what folks expect from the Star Wars story.
You have a lot of faith in Kathleen Kennedy. You really do.
Well, I wonder if Star Wars will get to a point where they start making more genre films. And they're not making Star Wars genre films at some point.
Seems like the plan.
But they didn't go there, though, with this one. That's I guess.
Right.
I mean, we got to see
it. It's a good point. But it does seem like they're trying to get away from the... Star Wars is going to be squeezed for everything it's worth. And it's going to be a once, twice a year product as opposed to a once every decade product.
But if they can make like a comedy space opera, you know, like Taika Waititi did in Thor Ragnarok or James Gunn did with Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, that could be really fun.
You're saying you just want another Star Wars Christmas special like in the 70s after the original came out that got buried to the depths of YouTube, never to be seen again?
I don't think I've ever seen the Star Wars Christmas special. You have you?
You're not missing much.
No?
I've seen most of it.
Is it a little too much Ewoks?
It's just too much.
Okay.
It's just too much.
So Lando probably...
It's like an origin story for Chewbacca. It's weird.
Okay. Yeah. Lando probably deserves the spinoff based on the fan reaction for this movie, Donald Glover.
Donald Glover does everything better than most people, like, brush their teeth or comb their hair or wake up in the morning.
He was terrific in that Spider-Man Homecoming, too. He had very little screen time, just did a great job.
He's great. Yes, I would be surprised if they didn't give him a spinoff at some point.
Some very strong hair extensions and hair game in these previews, Mike. I just wanted to point
that out.
There's
your strike zone.
but seriously, this is the quickest turnaround for a Star Wars movie in its franchise. Usually they take at least a year. This is only 6 months after The Last Jedi was released. So is that dangerous? Are we in danger of a lousy film? Are they just trying to push it up because they knew it wasn't as good? Red flags. There's a giant octopus in space.
Yeah.
Giant space squid. Are we a little worried about the space squid?
Didn't we just cover a movie where the big bad was a giant face in space in Doctor Strange? And that was, you know, look, it depends on how you view the Avengers being moved. Was the Avengers premiere date moved so it could end its run and Solo could have more time to kind of have its own audience? Or was the Avengers moved so it doesn't overshadow, doesn't want to compete with how good Solo is going to be?
Which makes you worry more about Deadpool there, too. Deadpool's getting squeezed.
There's a lot. If you're asking if I'm worried, to answer your question, I am about Solo. I am. I'm not worried about Lando Calrissian. I have full faith in Donald Glover. I do have a lot of faith in Kathleen Kennedy, like you keep bringing up, but I'm worried about Solo overall, for sure. Limited releases from there. Summer 1993, it's a Spanish art house film with an early 100% and 8.7 out of 10 critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. So
that's
the only one we have, but yeah, why not? It'll bring us into June 1st, Michael.
Wide releases include Action Point. This is the Johnny Knoxville kind of a bad grandpa jackass.
Just call it Bad Grandpa again or something. That's
bad
what this
grandpa
is.
Too, yeah. Bad Grandpa looks back to the past and had an amusement park. I don't know. It's old Johnny Knoxville with hijinks and shtick as old Johnny Knoxville, and he tells his grandkids a story about this old amusement park with no rules where everybody should have died but didn't because it's a movie, I guess. And the trailer kind of looks okay. I mean, it's weirdly directed by Tim Kirkby from Fleabag, Brockmire, and Veep. So that's like a strange connection. Because he's done some good comedies and some highbrow.
Brockmire and Veep are hilarious.
Critically
I don't know
acclaimed.
Much about Fleabag.
Well, Fleabag is a critically acclaimed comedy on Amazon there that we haven't. I haven't watched it yet. I guess you haven't either.
Enough.
So I don't know. It makes it look like a Jackass sequel in the trailer. I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, I don't understand why they don't put it just as a. I mean, it's Jackass. Everyone
Jackass 3.5 or Bad Grandpa 3? Are we on 3 yet?
My Bad Grandpa anthology information isn't at the top.
We aged out of Bad Grandpas and Jackass movies, I guess. Adrift, we have some scruples, not too many, but there.
Yeah, you lied. I love the Jackass movie still.
Oh, do you really?
I'm a bad person.
Well, okay.
You have grown up.
Well, Pita Peta Pan. I'll move on to the next movie. That's a stupid joke. Adrift stars Shailene Woodley and Sam Claflin. It's a big 2 years for Sam Claflin. He's done a lot of stuff. My Cousin Rachel I was kind of maxed out with Sam Claflin there. Almost crying for 2 hours.
Yes.
Because he was so in love with his cousin Rachel.
That was a rough performance to take.
It's a true survival story of a young couple stranded at sea after a hurricane. So he's also a dumb bimbo for freaking sailing them out during a hurricane. Directed by Baltazar Corkamer? No. Cormacur. Corkamer or Cormacur.
Yeah, no.
From Everest, The Deep, and The Sea. I am not a fan of Everest.
I'm not a fan of Shailene Woodley.
She was okay as a kid in that George Clooney movie, wasn't she?
She just gets on my nerves, and I don't know why.
I don't like her.
I think it's because they gave her a Legacy Award at the MTV Movie Awards like 3 or 4 years ago.
Really?
And her Legacy was like the one Divergent film.
Oh, Divergent films are garbage. Yeah. Ugh. All right. Two movie series I don't like
she's
now.
She's good in Big Little Lies, though.
Yes, she was good in Big Little Lies. So, okay, golf clap.
Yeah,
limited releases.
We're positive here.
June 1st, American Animals is an art heist dramedy suspense starring Barry Keoghan from Dunkirk and The Killing of a Sacred Deer. His star is on the rise a bit.
Yeah.
It's got an early 79%, 7.4 out of 10 critic score there. Upgrade stars Logan Marshall Green from The Invitation, Spider-Man Homecoming. He's the first Shocker there.
Batshit concept.
Logan Marshall Green also stars in Prometheus and Devil. And Betty Gabriel from Get Out.
Love her.
Is involved as well. Insidious Chapter 3 director Lee Whannell. Early 75%, 7 out of 10 critic score, like you said, batshit premise.
It reminded me of Grindhouse, where
the girl loses her leg.
You're absolutely right. Where Rose McGowan has the gun for the leg. It's kind of in that vein, though I think it's his arm, arm, something like that. But
so he's a superhuman guy.
He has to kill, believe it or not.
He was good in The Invitation. I really liked that movie from last year, I guess, or 2 years ago officially. But Betty Gabriel getting a starring role.
Yeah, good for her. Like to see her spread her wings. She killed it for
just
me.
Just give her a mirror and put the camera on her. Just do the right thing.
Let her eyes do the acting, yeah.
Mike, you got June 8th.
So this is big for me personally, being such a horror fan. This is one that I think we are going to get into at some point later on because the momentum for this will not subside. Hereditary, it's an early Oscar contender. First-time director Ari Aster stars Toni Collette, who's getting a lot of momentum in her own right for a Best Actress nod. Gabriel Byrne, Alex Wolff, and Millie Shapiro. It's a horror movie. It's got some terrifying trailers. Something to do with a dollhouse. Not sure what the hell's going on. I never want to have children. Producers of The Witch have the helm at this one. It seems to have some visual similarities. Much more ambition, though, and a lot more scares and action. Part psychological thriller? I don't know. Batshit. Off the wall insane.
The trailers get you. And look, The Witch had some really creepy moments in there and had some moments that just made you freak out. It took forever to get to those moments, but... So if those producers give the same visual look as they seem to be doing with
the same creep, creepy feeling.
But listen, this guy Ari Aster is a young rising star by all accounts. I mean, this is like his first big movie anyway. He's done some little stuff, but first big movie, sold the script, got the directing job. They must see a rising star if you're going to give him all this. All these resources.
And everybody's so ready to dub this the next king of horror on the heels of Get Out did last year. They say, this is it this year. Horror's back full time. It's going to be accepted. This is the Oscar movie. Maybe. In my heart, I want it to be true. I'm so worried about it in my head.
Oh, really?
I'm just worried.
I just kind of want a good movie.
Yeah, That's really it. We'll see. Oh, fingers crossed for that one. Ocean's 8 also out. Sandra Bullock, obviously. If you're a famous woman in Hollywood, you're in this movie, I think. Mm-hmm. It's Cate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Olivia Munn, Awkwafina, Helena Bonham Carter, Sarah Paulson, Katie Holmes, Mindy Kaling, Rihanna, James Corden. Doesn't fall in the female category, but he is in this. Jamie King, Richard Armitage, and Matt Damon. Obviously, it's a spinoff of the Ocean's 11 trilogy, where it's the girls' turn to do it and probably do it better. Debbie Ocean gathers a crew to attempt an impossible heist at New York City's annual Met Gala. What'd you think about the trailer for this one?
Yeah, I think it looks good. I'm hoping that it's a good movie. Gary Ross has done Pleasantville, Seabiscuit, and Hunger Games. He's made some good movies. It's kind of a change in tone for him, I would say.
From Seabiscuit,
even the Hunger Games a little bit there. And very, very different for him. But I think the trailers look pretty solid.
It's a savvy decision, too, to have it be attacking the Met Gala. Because there are so many... women especially in my life that go berserk over the Met Gala and the dresses worn by the famous people that attend it. And it's like the biggest fashion. It's like the Victoria's Secret's fashion show. It just grips a lot of people and who's wearing what and what. It's so beyond my comprehension in a world I'm not privy to or intelligent enough to be part of it all.
White trash. No, but we constantly hear of, all these necklaces being worn that are worth a bajillion dollars. So that makes some sense.
Limited releases on the June 8th lot is Won't You Be My Neighbor, a big hit from the film festival circuit. It's a documentary about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, kids show starring Fred Rogers on PBS, airing with Sesame Street. Were you a big Mr. Rogers fan growing up?
Not really. I hate to admit that. I never really got into it.
And yet
as
you
a
share
kid.
So many similarities.
Do I really?
You're kind.
I do say, won't you be my neighbor often, but that's just me being desperate for human interaction.
please be my neighbor.
No, I think I liked a little more production value when I was a kid. I liked Sesame Street. I liked the cartoons. I liked Mary Poppins. I liked Hollywood movies when I was a kid.
You're criticizing PBS for their production value?
It was just a old dude in a sweater with all these model trains. But everybody's going to these film festivals and they're tweeting about crying at this movie. Like, they're saying it's like means so much to them.
There's a big viral clip going around. I don't know if it's part of this documentary. I imagine it is. But it's a Senate hearing of Fred Rogers talking about what he does on his show to get, back in the 70s, I want to say, mid-70s, to get the $20 million funding for PBS to keep it basically on the air.
Wow.
Keep the Mr. Rogers Show on the air. And it's such a great speech that he lays out. He blows away the congressman that he's in front of. It's really cool to see.
So you were a fan of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood growing up? Or your time?
No, I watched it. I was in there with Sesame Street and Barney when I was a little kid. So, you know, it speaks to the child in me.
Okay, so you may get a little, you know, you may get the goosebump treatment when you see the movie.
I'll call you crying after I watch it.
You son of a bitch! Fred Rogers is a saint.
Could definitely be in the conversation for best documentary. It's a lot of things are. We keep talking about that category. Maybe that's the best actress of this year, as it was last year. Could be a loaded category for feature documentary this year.
Perhaps.
June 15th, Michael, we got a big return.
Incredibles 2 is back.
Am I a bad person for never seeing the first one?
Yo, you should see it. You'll like that. Maybe we have to do a Pixar series.
There you go.
That could be fun. Maybe next off season or later in this one. Who knows?
We'll just never talk about the Oscars again.
I'm a big fan of the original, written and directed by Brad Bird. It was kind of his coming out party. You know, he's matured and he's done some other good movies as well. Well, he did The Iron Giant before this one, but
which everybody loved.
Did the Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, which I think is still my favorite Mission Impossible movie.
It's just one movie to
you,
me.
You like them. Samuel Jackson, Holly Hunter, Craig T. Nelson are back as voices. Of course, Brad Bird is voicing the very funny fashion designer who designs all their super suits. So
trailer is funny. I have seen the trailer.
Yeah, they've done
times.
A lot of teasers that are funny. A lot of the big trailers.
Interested to see how that baby plays in. Love that baby.
That baby with the superpowers, man. It turns into like a little gremlin.
Yeah, I'm in on that baby.
Yeah, that looks pretty funny. Superfly is a reimagining of the original 1972 smash hit. It's directed by, get this, Director X.
I'm glad we're at this point in life.
He's done a lot of music videos, so that's kind of where his mystique lies. Don't judge him.
Where do they send the check?
Mr. X.
Mr. X? Is that?
Yes. I don't know. I don't know if he's legally changed his name or what, but he's done a TV movie, Center Stage, On Point. He's done the TV series Backstage. I'm not familiar with either of those.
Not me either.
Written by Alex C., one of the writers from Watchmen. It's starring Trevor Jackson as Youngblood Priest, Jason Mitchell, who we know, there's our way in, from Mudbound. He plays Eddie.
So we're going to analyze the shit out of his role in this.
We're big fans of him. Yeah. He stars on the rise. Lex Scott Davis, Michael Kenneth Williams, another of our favorites, mm-hmm. Omar from The Wire, and of course, Boardwalk Empire. And Jennifer Morrison. So
I was going to say Community.
Michael Kenneth Williams.
He's in a couple episodes. Cool.
Tag. It's kind of this very high
Can
concept.
Can you explain to me why I'm interested in this?
Because Jeremy Renner has a lot of batshit off production stories about him. So it's like almost, is he going to play himself finally? Is he going to play a weirdo as weird as himself?
Yes.
Finally.
It seems so basic, but I'm so in.
He's the member of this group of friends who's never been tagged in this whatever 20-year long game of the game of tag. So you have John Hamm, Annabelle Wallace, Isla Fisher, Leslie Bibb, Jason Johnson, Ed Helms, Hannibal Buress, and of course Brian Dennehy. Again, he's back. No, I'm not kidding. He's in this.
There's two scripts that Brian Dennehy got about 9 months ago. One was a period piece about a love triangle in old England, and the other was a 20-year-old game of tag.
Yes.
And what did he say? I'm in.
Is there a seagull in this movie too? Fucking eat the bread, seagull. I just hope that's the movie. I'm going to be very upset. Like, I'm going to have irrational hate
and
for
your
the seagull.
Expectations
if it's not,
are set that high
if,
now.
Yeah, if it's yes. not Brian Dennehy.
Dennehy in a lawn chair at a lake.
Or if he's terrorized by seagulls. I'm okay with either one of those things
okay,
happening.
Good, good. We've set the ground rule, the expectation for
right.
that.
Limited releases that week. Gabriel and the Mountain. It's about a college kid backpacking through Europe with an early 75%, 7.2 out of 10 critics score. Westwood. No, sorry.
Yeah, you were really swimming upstream for a second.
I was going okay for a second there before my seizure. Westwood, punk icon activist, is a documentary about the famous British fashion designer Vivienne Westwood. She's basically the designer behind the fashion of the punk movement. So that wasn't just the Sex Pistols or whoever having fans that showed up in
army
boots.
She was the first
boots.
Person to
she
have
actually designed
a pair of jeans in one hand and scissors in the other and go,
Army. Yeah. And did she do the army boots thing? Did she?
You need to talk to someone more intelligent than me, man.
That one guy from the Breakfast Club, did she dress him?
Yes. That's her mark on society.
The poster shows an old lady about to eat a fully peeled banana, which is just interesting.
Done by Director X.
No. It's got an early 100%.
You think Director X saw Mick G's name from Charlie's Angels and was like, going one more?
There's a guy to follow. Mick G. Yeah, no. I don't know. Director X, you might be the man. You might not be. We don't know. We're a little skeptical.
Oh, we're going to find out.
We're skeptical.
This is your chance, X.
You're drawing a lot of attention to yourself.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point.
Back to fashion documentaries. Vivienne Westwood, it got an early 100%, 7.3 out of 10 critic score.
We have not come across a big movie that's kind of failing right now in the early going and the early releases.
Well, I kind of ignored the ones
right.
that were
no,
getting.
I get that. But nonetheless, there's my point more so is that there's so much premium content coming up in just the next 2 months we're talking about. It's almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's a lot of good movies coming out according to the critics. We'll see. We'll be the judge.
Damn right.
That's Siegel.
June 22nd is next. Okay, we talked about how scared I am for a couple movies already, a couple red flags.
Right.
I am abjectly terrified for Jurassic World, The Fallen Kingdom, because that first trailer, to me, I don't know if you share this sentiment, I hated that first trailer.
I did not like it, correct.
Yeah, I was not a fan of it at all. I thought it looked a little too overdone, too reliant on some not-so-great effects, too reliant on some leaps, and you already have to take leaps in faith with Jurassic Park as a concept as is, and now we're kind of bringing the dinosaurs once again back into civilization, which didn't go so well in The Lost World or Jurassic Park 2. I mean, man, color me worried.
The Force Awakens kind of did a remake of Star Wars. Creed kind of did a remake of Rocky, the first Rocky in a way. The first Jurassic World was a remake of the first Jurassic Park.
Mm.
Now for the sequel, we're not giving you anything new again. We're basically just remaking The Lost World.
Directed by J.A. Bayona from The Orphanage, I thought The Orphanage was Del Toro, no?
Del Toro produced it.
Okay. All right. My mistake. The Orphanage, The Impossible, and A Monster Calls. Chris Pratt's back. Bryce Dallas Howard's back. The first one was received well. I have high hopes, as everyone does, for any Jurassic Park entity. But man, I really hope that second trailer that comes out is something else, because I was not impressed.
Pretty sure they just have a giant raptor. I don't know if I've mentioned this.
Maybe they just make a real dinosaur, like Universal or whoever's in charge of it just makes an actual dinosaur and releases it.
Also, the Meg is coming out with whatever's in the water.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
Can we just hang out with that? Just have a niche Jurassic Park movie. That's what they should have done about that, because that makes sense. Like, we don't have to have a volcano all of a sudden erupt on the island, and then it's such a whole Jurassic World. Just go with that sea monster and have that sea monster mate with a giant whale.
Or
have
Brian Dennehy. Yes.
Yeah, and Brian Dennehy could be in it. Terrorizing some seagulls. It's perfect. Why aren't we hired by you, Hollywood?
Directed by Director X. You're not getting a lot of consistency out of this episode, is what I'm saying to you. Limited releases for the 22nd of June. The King, a Korean courtroom drama with an early 83% and a 6.8 out of 10 average critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. And Under the Silver Lake, a good trailer with Andrew Garfield and last name I always get wrong, Riley Keough. Yeah, I don't know. My apologies if I murder any names. But what do you think about the trailer for Under the Silver Lake?
Weird, cool, kind of looks like something to see. I like the director, David Robert Mitchell, of It Follows, so it's got a chance to follow with a decent movie.
I'm proud of you for making that joke.
I knew I didn't want to say it, but I wrote it down for myself.
Andrew Garfield is on a two-movie run right now with me where I think I might hate him.
Right.
So Hacksaw Ridge and then Silence went under the radar. I didn't see it. I don't have gripes about it. I know you didn't like it.
Listen, I love Martin Scorsese.
Right.
Everybody gave this movie positive. Well, a lot of people get it. So it's some people's favorite movie of last year. I hated it with such a passion.
Yeah.
It made me so angry.
I'll be honest. You kind of turned me off.
It might have touched too many nerves, though, for me. Because I just don't like religious movies.
But I was talking Hacksaw Ridge and then Breathe. Such Oscar grabs.
Breathe was okay, but it...
But it's so transparent. It was like Leo's run when he was settled on J. Edgar and then took a step back.
Breathe was hard to watch. Yeah. I won't lie.
So I'm hoping that this kind of revitalizes Andrew Garfield to get him back on track to what he was. Because he was great. I mean, Social Network, I brag about, I quote about it all the time, but he was fantastic.
Very true.
June 29th, Mike's going to finish us up.
The Hustle is a comedy with Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson. There's not a lot of news yet on this one. Probably a bad sign.
How much you want to bet there's some hijinks?
There's some hijinks.
Maybe some screw-ups. Maybe a zany situation or
Rebel
two.
Rebel Wilson will have some quips. Anne Hathaway will play the straight man.
You think?
I think so.
All right.
Sicario, Day of the Soldado. Talk about me being worried about sequels for favorite movies of the past. I love the initial.
Yeah, you were big. Sicario. You said it was your favorite horror movie, I think.
This one, yeah.
Once upon a time.
It felt like a horror movie.
No argument. It
brings back Benicio Del Toro and Josh Brolin. It's basically them facing off. Del Toro is supposed to kill a kid who is some kind of loose end that Josh Brolin and the government wants to dispose of, but Del Toro refuses. I don't know. I mean,
crisis of conscience there. That's what they're playing on.
After the first movie, I don't know how he has a conscience, really. I mean, yeah. I guess, I don't know.
Well, Del Toro, I mean, they at least established that Del Toro, well, I'm not going to say it. I won't ruin the first Sicario for anybody out there, but
I'm not optimistic.
I'm hopeful. This first Sicario was really, really good. Really well done.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Uncle Drew stars basketball star Kyrie Irving, along with Tiffany Haddish, Nick Kroll, Lil Rel Howery.
Person. I think I'm just a bad person, because the two most excited movies are Tag and Uncle Drew for me.
We did the basketball movie series. If you haven't listened to that one, check it out. Well, we finished with talking about, you know, some anticipated basketball movies, and Uncle Drew was one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we got Shaq, we got Reggie Miller, Lisa Leslie, Nate Robinson, Chris Webber, of course, J.B. Smoove thrown in for good measure. Trailer was kind of funny, and like I said, we hyped it up in that last episode. It might be a guilty pleasure or just a pleasure.
You could expect July 1st come around and me be panning for this to win the best picture. That's what these pods coming up are going to be.
We think it could be fun. I think it could be fun. Limited releases that week. Game Changers is a documentary about Jeopardy with Alex Trebek for the game show's 50th anniversary.
That could be fascinating.
Yeah, right. I think Alex Trebek is someone I can't picture him like not in that show.
Yeah, no, he was made, tailor made.
Like, I just want to see him just like these fucking people. I just want to see him off the cuff. I want to meet the real Alex Trebek.
Interviewed by Brian Dennehy. Yeah. Yes.
Feeding seagulls. That's the joke is dead. It was dead 10 minutes ago. It was never a joke. Here we go. Leave No Trace stars Ben Foster from Hell or High Water. A lot of Westerns, three-tanner humor. His daughter in the movie is played by Thomasin Harcourt McKenzie.
There's a name. Good name.
Yeah. It's from the director of Winter's Bone, Deborah Granick, and it has an early 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.8 out of 10.
You were a big Winter's Bone.
Or 7.10. Is that possible?
Yeah, no, it's an 8. You were a big Winter's Bone fan.
Yeah, it was like a slow burn. I liked it more upon rewatch.
Myself, yeah.
It's not a good mystery. Let's put it that way. So it kind of sets you up as a mystery. It's more of like a coming of age and the showcase for Jennifer Lawrence. She's really good, even as a kid there. I like the performance perhaps more than the movie itself. Three Identical Strangers is a documentary about triplets separated at birth. It's got an early 93%, 7.5 out of 10 critic score. So like you said, a lot of movies, indie movies coming out with good marks. I
saw the trailer for Three Identical Strangers. It's certainly a captivating story. And it's kind of like almost a cartoon when you hear about the concept. You
know, really?
Three kids separated at birth, all born the same mother, separated at birth,
and
they find each other.
Get their parents back together again. It's a fun one.
It's a parent trap. No, I really hope that doesn't end sadly now. So that's the next the next 2 months worth of movies that are coming out, both in theaters and on demand for the most part. The highlights, a lot of highly rated stuff. So you could start to think one of these, like I said a couple times, maybe it's one of these from these next 2 months that's going to cut the momentum and prolong it. There's a couple definite Oscar lookers in there. Some of the documentaries that we keep harped on. Hereditary has positioned itself early. Hopefully it keeps up the momentum that it's built.
Right.
But this is a big couple months coming up, both just generally for movies and for the awards picture to kind of start taking shape.
Absolutely. We reviewed a lot of small movies on our Netflix quarterly episode, over 38 titles in that one. We've also previewed the 2018-19 Oscars. We got a preview on last 2 months.
Yeah.
March and April, I think it is, as the calendar says, right?
Yeah,
those
were the last 2 months.
Correct.
Good job.
I'm aware of time.
I think last
space.
Time it was numbers that you nailed. Now you're doing.
Now I got the calendar down. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I mean, you can kind of we're catching you up on 2018. We're getting ready for our week of the MCU continuation series here.
Yeah, we're finally going to put a bow on that. Once again, my apologies and thank you everyone for your kind words that you sent me through social media. Really appreciate it.
We'll sound older and wiser after an extra week of billions of dollars.
We will sound older. No, we're going to put a bow on MCU. We'll finally get to dive deep into Infinity War and put that one to bed.
That's a lot of movie
MCU.
Right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of
it's
movie.
It's about 3 hours worth.
It's a whole lot of movie. There's a lot of man at this table.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of movie to be talking
no
about.
No doubt
there.
We're going to re-rank, like Mike said, we're kind of perfection with the MCU. Rank those from best to least best, because there's not really a bad
there's
MCU.
A lot of good ones, yeah.
And we're going to get back into the swing of things, back into the retrospectives. We'll have some more short episodes coming out. You guys seem to respond well to those. We're going to do probably a long-form retrospective at some point coming up soon. We got a lot in the fire, and once again, we're getting to it and churning these out as best we can. So if you have any ideas for what you want to hear from us or any comments about what you have heard from us already in the past, be sure to reach out to us, Mike, and Oscar on Facebook, Mike, and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine, MikeMikeAndOscar@gmail.com, MikeMikeAndOscar on the Reddit machine, MikeMikeAndOscar.com in the pipelines. We finally got a little momentum on that.
We do.
This past week, so that should be forthcoming as the
at
they
some
say.
Point in the next 10 years, we will release
the pictures, they call
website.
It coming soon, yeah. I think. Yeah, let's tease it.
So for those of you who had the over on how many impressions I was going to do this episode, I mean, I was probably 5. So if you had the over-under on 3, you won.
You're
welcome.
Well. Yeah, you did
you're
yourself
welcome.
Well.
I was pent up, I guess.
Yeah,
Southern,
get that tone
various
off, yeah.
degrees of Southern, can you say racism?
Oh, good, yes. Let's end on that note.
Southern people hate
and,
me.
And go see the seagull. Starring Brian Dennehy.
We're going to have to see the sequel now. We realize this. We talked this much shit about it.
Like I said in the post, and it's all too true sometimes, but reality does suck at times, guys. So keep watching movies with us, and we will see you soon.
See ya.